Welcome back to our continuing series we call Out to Lunch. Here we visit Vino 209 Wine Cafe in the historic Valley Junction of West Des Moines, Iowa. Our guest is Cindy Axney, the Democratic candidate for Congress for the 3rd Congressional District. We'll talk politics, food, and more. Join us as the Business News Hour goes out to lunch with Cindy Axney, coming up in just a moment.
Insight on Business, the News Hour, is brought to you by Tarot International. Achieve, lead, and outclass with Tarot. TERO.com. And the Iowa Business Journals. News and information for small to mid-sized businesses. IowaBusinessJournals.com.
Welcome back to Insight on Business, the News Hour. Today we are out to lunch at Vino 209 in the historic Valley Junction here in West Des Moines, Iowa. And we are with congressional candidate Cindy Axney, who won the opportunity to be the Democratic nominee in a June primary. And we're going to sit here and have lunch and, gosh, talk about the weather or something. Cindy, welcome. Good to see you.
Thank you. This is a very fun idea.
Isn't this a neat place?
Yeah.
And you had a campaign office right around the corner.
We had an office around the corner. I never had time to stop in for a glass
of
wine or lunch, so I'm happy to be here.
Oh, there you go. Okay. And you know, what we like to do, these are locally owned restaurants where we can go and just, and they welcome us, and you know, it's not a chain kind of a thing. It's just local folks, and we appreciate that. And Kelly, who is the owner of this and Heart of Iowa, which is next door to Vino 209, was kind enough to be our host today. Well, I can't imagine that anyone out there doesn't know who Cindy Axney is. But in case they don't, tell us about you.
So I'm a fifth-generation Iowan from the south side of Des Moines, and my mom was from a farm in Warren County, so I've got deep roots in this district. I'm also a mom of two teenage boys who go to our West Des Moines public schools. My husband and I are small business owners. We own a digital design company, and I spent a decade serving the people here in this state under Governors Vilsack, Culver, and Branstad's administrations, and really love doing that work to help raise up the lives of the people that live here and bring in good jobs and make sure that we, delivered better services to the people.
You've got all the bases covered. You're a mom. You're a small business owner. You've worked in government in the past. You've done all this stuff. Why not just retire and say the heck with all this and go about digitally doing wonderful things for people rather than this grueling job of running for Congress?
Well, I appreciate that, but I'll tell you what, I'm running this race because of what I learned from my parents, and they told my sisters and me to make sure that we helped everybody in our community. And right now, I think that we don't have that representation out in Washington, and they also taught me to stand up and, you know, really protect what's right. And so I think it's an opportunity for me to be able to use those skills, go out to Washington, and make sure that everyone in this district has a voice out there. I think it's important.
Let's talk a little bit, Cindy, if we can, about the district. This is 16 counties, stretches from Council Bluffs, Iowa, to Polk County in Des Moines, and from Interstate 80 south to the Missouri border. That's a pretty good size area. It's not as large as some of the congressional districts in Iowa, but it's really varied, isn't it?
It absolutely is. And we've got some of the greatest towns in this district, from Malvern to Sydney to Mount Air. I've really enjoyed traveling it. I've been to every single county multiple times. Of course, we've got our big metro areas here in Des Moines and in Council Bluffs, but we've got some great small towns, great communities, wonderful farms, of course, and a heck of a lot of opportunity for people in this district. But I'm telling you, we have the best people that you could possibly find in this corner of Iowa. Innovative, definitely high-spirited and ready to help their neighbors.
Yeah, and again, rural for most of the counties. I think Polk County would be considered more urban. Maybe Dallas County for parts of it, of course, one of the fastest-growing counties in the nation. And then also you get into Pottawatomie County, which has Council Bluffs. The rest of it gets pretty rural.
That's right. Yeah.
What are people out there talking about, Cindy?
So, I quite honestly, it doesn't matter if you live in one of our metro areas or out in our rural communities. They're all talking about the need for affordable, effective health care, the opportunity for their family through good-paying jobs and solid public school education, and making sure that we reduce costs for families and increase their take-home pay so that they can actually afford to send their kids maybe to post-secondary education, put a little bit of money away for retirement. That's what they're talking about.
These are the kinds of kitchen table things that every family tends to talk about. Kelly. Whoa, we're going to order, I guess, huh?
Awesome.
All right. Kelly, you're wearing a V on your necklace. Must be for Vino.
It is for Vino.
Yeah, there you go.
I had it made for me.
Very nice. Cool.
All right, well, what are you going to have? Chef Andrew's got some good stuff going on in the back there. We are part of Restaurant Week, so we do have our homemade chicken salad as part of Restaurant Week, homemade sorbet, and a corn salad.
I saw that corn salad. That looks pretty good. And how can you pass up Iowa corn?
Right. So you're in for the corn salad?
I'm in for it.
Cindy's in for the corn salad. I think I'm going to do the same thing. I mean, you know, why? I'm going to follow the leader on this, so to speak. And all right. Order is in. All right. Let's talk about some of these kitchen table things that that you're listening to out there. And I wanted to start with, I think, one of those areas, small business people. You know, this is a business show. We spend almost all of our time talking about not only startup businesses, but established businesses. And they are being strangled, if you will, on healthcare issues. I just left a meeting today where there were the brain trusts of, I believe, 13 or 14 Chamber of Commerce executives. And that was the issue that they were talking about, healthcare and small business. Help us out?
Yeah, well, it absolutely is one of the biggest issues our small businesses are facing. And as a matter of fact, I've heard story after story of people who have sent one of their partners back to work in a corporation to get health insurance or decided that they couldn't continue with their startup because they couldn't afford the health insurance that they needed. So we absolutely need to address this. And healthcare has been one of the topics I've been talking about this entire election throughout the primary for 15 months now as we're into the general. It's one of the most expensive things that our families face. Premiums are consistently going up. Services are going down. Costs are increasing. And to your point, our small businesses, which are the majority of the job makers in this country, are having a really difficult time affording health insurance, and they want to make sure that their employees have what they need, and they want to keep them healthy. So we've got a lot of work there.
Well, we know what the problem is. It's just too damn expensive for many people to be able to. So Cindy, actually, what do you want to see happen when we take a look at the healthcare system that many individuals say is desperately broken for an industrialized nation the size of the United States? What do we do?
Well, there's a couple things that I want to do out in Congress. And the first one is we need to shore up the Affordable Care Act and make sure that we keep people on plans till they're 26, make sure that we cover pre-existing conditions, and, of course, don't put any lifetime caps on. And then we need to be able to negotiate the cost of prescription drugs. Within the ACA, we couldn't negotiate the cost of prescription drugs within Medicare. That's costing us a heck of a lot of money. But I also want to introduce a public option so that people have an opportunity to buy into a plan that works for them and that doesn't necessarily have to be tied to a work location so that anybody...
So they can be mobile.
You can be mobile. You can be a small business owner. You can be just an individual startup. We've got a lot of young people in particular that are looking for career opportunity where they're creating something for themselves in multiple areas. It's really innovative, but they need to get health insurance. And so these are the kinds of people that need access to a plan that they might not normally find, and we can do that through a public option.
And when we talk about public option, that sometimes doesn't ring, well, it doesn't ring familiar with some individuals. So we're kind of talking about the world of like Medicare. Medicare is a public process, yes?
That's right.
And it seems to work.
Yep, that's right. And it has, lower overhead, certainly costs less. This is very similar to many other countries. Singapore, England, they all have plans where there's a public option involved in there so that people can pick and choose what works for them, but there's always going to be an option that's affordable.
You know, a dovetail onto affordable health care for everyone in the United States is another thing. You said Singapore, and it got me to thinking. You know, the United States is one of only two countries on the planet that doesn't have paid family leave. What? I think the other was Papua New Guinea, if I remember correctly. So Singapore just hit that noggin with me. What? Because if you're talking about kitchen table economics, that does ring true. And it doesn't matter if it's taking care of children, also aged parents as well, yeah?
Yep, absolutely. I've been talking about this out on the trail since I started this race. It's about putting more money back into our families' pockets, and that includes making sure that there's better paid family leave, child care that's affordable but that also pays providers appropriately, and certainly making sure that we close that pay gap. Because right here in Iowa, if we close the pay gap, we put almost $5 billion back into our state's annual economy and just shy of $11,000 into every single working woman's wallet. Now imagine how that would help their families. So we've got a lot of work that we can do here to help every single person in our community economically.
When you talk about the pay gap, what you're talking about is the difference in pay between men and women, yes?
That's correct.
Yeah, and I don't know, I can't remember what the latest statistic was, anywhere from 74 to 79% of every dollar, 70 cents, 74 to 79 cents of every dollar is what a woman makes versus what a man in the same job. And that just tends to be a problem because so many women are working, yeah?
That's exactly right.
And how do you balance that work-life relationship? I'm sorry. You know, these are business questions that every business owner, manager, proprietor, they have because they don't know how they're going to be able to fund this or attract and retain employees. And Iowa in the United States needs to be an attractive place for people to come. Let's talk about another kitchen table topic if we can. And that's going to be rural development. Now, we went through some of the demographics with the 3rd Congressional District. You got a lot of last miles when it comes to broadband internet and all kinds of things. Talk to us a little bit about the technology scene in 2018 and how we might be able to, as a country, work toward a better economic development opportunity for people in the hinterland.
Listen, absolutely. That's one of the key issues facing our rural communities is that they don't have solid cellular or broadband. One of the things that I want to put in place, and I know we're going to have a heck of a lot of support behind this, is an infrastructure bill when we get out to Congress. That's not just for our roads and bridges, which are in very much need of repair. We have water and sewer systems that really need addressing. We have pipes that are almost 100 years old, and so they're ripe for failure, health issues, that type of thing, and of course, cellular and broadband. So our rural economies can't compete if they don't have the technology that's needed for today's jobs. And so I'm going to put together a package that expands that out into those communities. We have not had somebody out there in Washington pushing this for us. This is, to me, like electrification was in this country. It's necessary, and it's something that everyone should have. And we need to ensure that the government's a part of making sure that that happens.
We had a conversation on the air not too very long ago with Ro Khan, who is a congressman from the 17th District of California, which is Silicon Valley, by the way. And we were talking about the need for technology assurance in all parts of the United States so that, I mean, people don't have to sit in a cubicle in Council Bluffs or in Omaha or Des Moines or wherever it happens to be. You can actually work from anywhere if you have the connectivity.
That's right. That's right.
And why not afford that to individuals? Another rural issue, and it's been brought to light here recently, with healthcare concerns relative to the environment. And particularly, we're talking about the recent court case with Roundup and Monsanto and Dow, and this is a continuing issue out there. And now Cambia, which is another new pest herbicide, which is drifting over into other fields, and these companies that are doing this and their backbones of our economy, our agricultural economy. What does Congress, what does Cindy Axne think about about the health of individuals as it pertains to the environment?
Well, listen, I think that if any company is producing a product, they need to ensure that it's safe for the people that use it, and it's safe for the people that have any downstream end result, whether it's, you know, food production, whether it's contaminants in our water, et cetera. And so that's a responsibility that these companies need to uphold. You know, I think that here in Iowa, we certainly have a lot of opportunity to help our farmers improve their yields, maintain nutrients in their soil. You know, they certainly know that we're running at risk of losing a lot of our nutrients and down the road here, and that time's coming a lot sooner than we would hope. And so we absolutely need to be looking at practices that allow us to retain those nutrients for better yields for our farmers. But at the same time, we have to make sure that we're putting forth agricultural practices that keep our state safe and our people healthy. So I think that's something that we need to hold companies responsible to do.
We are out to lunch with Cindy Axne. She is a Democratic candidate for Congress in Iowa's 3rd Congressional District. I was at a city council meeting last night, Cindy, and one of the topics of conversation, and I never thought I'd hear this in a city council meeting, was about concerns relative to climate change. And here's the driver behind that. The conversation all centered on horrific rainstorms and flooding and the types of things that we're seeing more and more of. Just, what was it, yesterday, I believe it was, in one part of Iowa, they got a foot of rain, for crying out loud. What are we doing? These are really unique situations. Talk to us a little bit about climate and climate change.
Yeah, well, listen, when I was at the state of Iowa, we dealt with this on a consistent basis. In my last role there as division administrator at the Department of Natural Resources, I oversaw, as one of my groups, the engineering team, so engineering in our parks. And we had some parks where there was consistent flooding, and the issue was that our infrastructure wasn't built for the issues that we're facing today, flooding that's more extreme, so our bridges need to go up higher. So we've had to consider all of those infrastructure issues throughout the years, because as we've seen this climate increase, we've seen increased drought, we've seen increased flooding, and those are things that are infrastructure issues. They're also affecting our farmers. Along with that comes new pests that come about because of the very small change in, just a slight change in our temperature allows new pests to, you know, infiltrate our farms. And so our farmers are really feeling the impact as well. Higher drought, higher floods, new pests that they need to deal with. We're all feeling that as well, and we need to address this through infrastructure issues. There's just it's something that we need to start, we need to look at. We should have been looking at more wholeheartedly a while ago, but we absolutely need to get on this, and I think Iowa should be a leader when it comes to addressing climate change issues. I directed the governor's agenda for clean energy and the environment when I was at the state of Iowa, helping to bring the wind industry here and move us towards energy independence. We're now at almost 40% of our energy from wind, and we employ thousands of people in that industry. So we've got incredible opportunity to continue to be leaders, to fight back against the effects of climate change, but also, quite honestly, put more jobs out there and lower costs for Iowans and Americans. So it's really a win-win situation. And those jobs with clean energy as compared to fossil fuel energy outweigh those jobs 5-1. And so the opportunity is there, and I think Iowa should be a leader when it comes to that.
Cindy Axne, ladies and gentlemen, we are out to lunch at Vino 209, and I see that the lunch is here. Wow. Chef Andrew, we'll have to get Chef Andrew over here just to tell us what the heck he's doing. Come here, Chef, come here. What do you got?
We got it all.
Look at this. He's got it all.
So what we have here is our chicken salad sandwich, local heirloom tomatoes, and our corn salad has fresh mozzarella, local Iowa corn, fresh tomatoes, and fresh basil from our garden.
Wow.
Looks good.
Yeah, here we go.
I'm glad I'm not on camera eating this sandwich.
But we do need pictures of this. I tell you what, Brittany, if you could grab the photographic machine that's over there, you've got to take a picture of this.
Before we start digging in.
Yeah, before we start digging in. We're out trading around with silverware right now. Hey, thank you. A slight pause for the photograph machine. We're with Cindy Axne. We are out to lunch with some looking good stuff here at Vino 209. And we're talking about kitchen table issues with regard to the 3rd Congressional District. These don't sound to me, Cindy, like Republican or Democratic issues, are they?
They aren't. These are issues that every single person in this state is facing, and quite honestly, across this country, people, hundreds of thousands of people, millions of people are facing these issues. You know, we have been, for too many years, stagnant with wages. We haven't kept up with the cost of inflation. To me, running this race has always been about improving the lives of Iowans, and that starts with their pocketbooks. It starts by making sure their kids have opportunity.
You know, just this week, the EPA has decided that they're going to start dumping stuff in our rivers and streams again, and backtracked on President Obama's signature clean air policy as well. What is Congress's role in governance for things like clean energy and wind? What is Congress? We seem to have an administration that's hell-bent for leather on just removing everything that was ever done over the past 8 years of the Obama administration. Where's Congress on this?
Well, and let's take that even further. I mean, this administration is backtracking on things that have been done over many presidencies. I mean, over the Bush presidencies, Clinton presidents, and former and the elder Bush presidency as well. So, you know, these are things that Americans want. They want protected public lands. They want to be able to go to national parks. They want their water to be clean. They want their air to be breathable. These provisions were put in place starting, for a long time ago now, 70s, late 60s, because we were facing some very extreme environmental issues, in particular with air quality. So these things have been put in place for a reason. To take them away, I think, is short-sighted. Certainly, this is in no way, shape, or form a Democrat or Republican issue. This is about the health and safety of Americans, and that's why presidents, both Democrat and Republican, in the past have supported, environmental standards that protect people.
It all seems to be common sense, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
It seems to be common sense. I got to try the corn here. Let's get into this.
Can't pass it up. Good?
Oh, yeah. Now, Chef Andrews said there's like mozzarella and
I can say this is good food here.
Yeah.
Good local food.
Prepared by local people.
There you go.
Speaking of that, we're gonna take a slight break as we talk a little bit about local food in the district. So as you're out there traveling these 16 counties, and having had that opportunity myself at one time, you get to some really interesting little restaurants out there, don't you, and coffee shops?
Absolutely.
Tell us about that.
Well, we've been to some really fun places in Council Bluffs, which I've enjoyed. They've got an incredible downtown and a lot of new places that are popping up, and then they're putting housing in on some of their Main Street areas downtown as well, so that's becoming a really great area to go to. I can't remember the name of the brewery in Malvern, but I didn't have a beer, but there was an event there, and they have really great food. And one of the things I love about Malvern, it's this small town. Mm-hmm. It's very artsy. And they've, like I said, they've got this brewery and cafe and art studios. And so it's neat. And then, you know what, you can't pass up just some of the great diners that are in some of our small towns. And so where they're making you that hot-faced open sandwich.
Open-faced sandwich.
Open-faced hot sandwich, exactly. And you can't do better than that.
You start talking about some of these places. Sydney, I've all of a sudden lost. Shenandoah. You know, you travel down to Shenandoah and some of those in Red Oak and other Atlantic, for crying out loud, these little towns that are out there, Greenfield, that have such unique places. Have you been by, I got to ask, have you been by the hotel in Greenfield yet? Have you seen that?
I have not.
You got to get your staff to take you by this hotel in Greenfield. It is absolutely gorgeous. I think they have only 14 rooms. in the entire place. But it is, yeah, we're making notes over here. You will just plot. It is so cool, and they have a little museum there. It's very, very nice. We are out to lunch with Cindy Axne, a candidate for the 3rd Congressional District here in Iowa. We're talking about policy issues, public policy, and business as we sit down over a corn salad and chicken salad. It looks delicious. Go ahead, take a bite.
Okay.
This is what happens when we go out to lunch, ladies and gentlemen. We sit, we just, you know, we schmooze about all kinds of things, and then we have to eat after. Because what we're doing is talking throughout this time. And one of the cool things about going out to do this is that we get to be with other individuals who walk into the restaurant. They go, what the heck are you doing? You got lights, cameras, actions? What the heck is going on here? Anyway, which is kind of fun. Let's talk a little bit about something that is political, or it seems to be, and that's the money in politics and Citizens United. This is really, to most individuals, has changed the tenor of our political campaigns, and that's because, as we all know, corporations are now people, and they can just max out all over the place. How's that impacting the campaign?
Yeah, well, as before we got on, on the line here, of course, we talked about the fact of how much call time I have to do to get individuals to support my campaign. Unlike my opponent, our current congressman, I refuse to take corporate PAC money. I think that it's important to be working for the people and not corporations and their special interests. About 80% of his contributions come from corporations. And so, when your money comes from organizations who are expecting something, I think it's difficult to represent the needs of the individuals in your district. And it's why I won't take that money. And I'm endorsed by End Citizens United because of it.
End Citizens United.
That's right.
Now, this is interesting. I had no idea that your opponent had that much money coming from outside special interest groups.
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, it is a money game, isn't it? I mean, as we take a look at this, I mean, Cindy, for crying out loud, I know. You've got to spend a lot of hours on the other side of a telephone, and your staff as well, because it's always hunting up dollars. How do we fix this so that it's not? So you can spend your time listening to constituency and actually working on their behalf. How do we fix that?
Yeah. Well, quite honestly, raising money for a congressional race is one of the hardest races to do that for because there's a limit. So unlike state races where there is no limit, and let's say an individual who can afford more can give you a nice little chunk, I've got to have lots of people because the limit is not very high. It takes a heck of a lot of work. So two things that we need to do. First of all, we got to get dark money out of politics. We have absolutely got to get these organizations that don't have to be disclosed, but they can put out ads that really are mean-spirited, quite honestly, in many cases, and don't address the issues to try and talk about things with the candidates that they don't want to see win. We've got to get that money out. We need to put an end to Citizens United because corporations aren't people. They shouldn't have the opportunity, I think, to put that much money into the elections that they're doing. And we really need to be basing this on support from individuals. But I, quite honestly think, we should be campaigning by going around and talking with people. And the fact that it requires so much money, the fact that we have to be on TV, the fact that we have to have a lot of mailings is not where I'd like to be. I'd like to be out talking with people and holding debates as well.
Yeah, what about the debate process? Is that something that's going to happen in the 3rd District?
Well, I sure hope so. We are doing three debates. The reason that those are the three that Congressman Young said he would do. As a matter of fact, the minute our door opened the day after the primary, his campaign delivered a letter and said he would do three debates, one on KMA radio, one on WHO radio, and one on Iowa Public Television. But I don't think that's enough. I think we need to be in front of people more, not just on radio, although I love the radio, but I would like to see us be able to be in front of audiences more. We asked David Young to debate us in every single county. He won't respond to our campaign. The Des Moines Register, KCCI, Simpson College, and others would like to see him do debates as well, and he's not getting back to those people who are making those requests. So we're trying as hard as we can to have more than those debates, which don't have the reach that, I mean, that I would hope they would across the district.
Sure, there'll be electronic debates, but having actual people sitting there and having to face constituency is a whole different ballgame.
That's right, that's right.
Interesting. And it's interesting that obviously KMA in Shenandoah is a choice because that's over in western Iowa, in the western part of the district. WHO is a statewide station. But interestingly enough, a couple of those stations tend to be a little political, if you might say. I mean, I as I look at my friends at iHeart Broadcasting, in particular WHO Radio, you know, that's the home of Rush Limbaugh and some guy from England who talks smack about everybody at the same time in political circles. That doesn't sound like an equitable situation.
Well, I'd like to have him debate me in all 16 counties.
There you go. Cindy Axney, ladies and gentlemen, we are out to lunch at Vino 209. We talked a little bit about jobs and take-home pay. One of the things that I suspect that you're hearing from people is how much more it costs to live today, but they're basically making the same amount of money as they were 10 years ago. Do you hear that?
I do hear that. I do. And well, and that's what the data shows as well. We've had stagnant wages. You know, we do have low unemployment, but low unemployment doesn't equate to money in people's pockets so that they actually have what they need. So we need to get our wages to a point where families have what they need to live on, to put a little bit of money aside for retirement, to hopefully send their kids to some type of post-secondary education. And our wages have not kept up with inflation. They haven't kept up with the cost of living. And our families are falling behind. So those are issues that we absolutely need to address.
What about immigration? That is a topic I had not written down, but it just came to me because there are farmers all over the United States that are not picking crops. They're not working the fields. They're not having a harvest in many areas simply because they have hoped to have immigrant labor, but they can't find them. So watermelons, for example, in the Sonoma Valley in California, they can't find workers to pick grapes. They can't find workers to pick avocados or orange. So what are we going to do about this immigration thing that's really having a direct impact on business?
Well, we need to make sure that we've got a good immigration reform. We've been trying to move forward on that for many years, of course, so that we keep our country safe. We want to make sure that we've got good national security, but we also need to make sure that we're continuing to be a country that's open and welcoming and gives people opportunities. So many of the people that are fleeing their countries are because it's difficult circumstances to live under. And so, you know, I think we can all look to Governor Robert Ray, unfortunately, who just passed away, is, I think, a beacon here in Iowa for the type of state and country that we should be, which is opening to those in need. We've seen that that not helps our culture here, but it also helps our economy.
One of the factors that this administration continues to point to, and I suspect that your opponent supports, is a fear factor with regard to immigrants. But the studies that we've seen indicate that individuals who come here from other nations are some of the most industrious entrepreneurs that we could hope to find. So what's being said doesn't necessarily match the data.
Well, that's correct. I mean, obviously, by far, the vast majority of people coming to this country are great people who are looking for opportunity. You know, I think it's easy to blame the loss of jobs on others. Quite honestly, a lot of our loss of jobs is because of automation. And so we need to look at ways that we can grow this country in the jobs of the future so that people have opportunity and not use others and their coming to this country as an excuse that we don't have the jobs that people need. We need to be constantly looking at how our industries are performing, and if they're moving forward with technology, how we can ensure that we still have enough jobs for people that are good paying.
When we talk about individuals and people coming to this country, I think at last count there's over 500 children that have not been reunited with their parents that were taken from them at the border. That doesn't seem to me, and we don't, again, we don't do much with politics on the Business News Hour, but that doesn't seem to me to be the same type of country that many of us learned about when we were going to public school.
Well, absolutely not. And I'm a mom of two boys. I can't even imagine the angst that those families are facing and what those children are enduring. And, you know, this isn't just a... This isn't something where when the families become reunited that they overcome. This will create, mental health issues for them for years to come. For these children, absolutely. We've put them through a very traumatic experience. You see stories about these mothers who, fathers as well, that are distraught. They don't know about the safety of their children. They don't know when they're going to see them again. I mean, this is not Iowa. This is not our country. We would never tear families apart and then not know how we're supposed to bring them back together again and not know if the children are safe. Unacceptable. This is why we need people out in Congress who are going to stand up to what's happening in this administration that doesn't represent the values of this country.
Well, as you just mentioned, people standing up to this administration, we just had an example about the EPA doing away with some rules, this idea of separating families at the border that was, interestingly enough, challenged in court. The First Lady, just yesterday, I believe it was out talking about anti-bullying campaigns, and while her husband is busy tweeting about how awful people in his administration and elsewhere happen to be, calling individuals dogs, and I'm stunned. We try to talk about civility in any campaign. Thoughts?
Well, I think, unfortunately, the hypocrisy of many of the decisions being made in this administration are very clear. The fact that the First Lady's parents were able to become citizens because of our chain migration, immigration policy, and the fact that the president has said he wants to do away with the chain migration policy and says that it's one of the worst things within our immigration policy, but then he uses it for his own family's good. I think we need to take a step back and say our elected officials really should be out there to represent what's good for every single person in this country, not just what's good for them. And I think we've moved away from that. We have too many people in who are elected officials today who are beholden to political party leadership, and that partisanship is hurting Americans.
Well, it certainly is making a definite impact on our lives, not only our lives, but people that we have come to know all across this great country. Final question, Cindy, and then we'll probably be able to eat. Yeah, at a dinner party, there's more than two people talking, right? And you can kind of shovel in a bite every once in a while. When we do this kind of thing, it's impossible. What's the best part of running for Congress for you? I know you take time away from the kids and the family. Your husband's still got a business he's got to run. All of this, and you got call time, for crying out loud. But those things many people don't know about or they don't think about. What's the best thing about running for Congress?
It's definitely the people and meeting the people in our district and hearing about their stories and, quite honestly, learning from them. We've got such amazing people in this district, from small business owners to entrepreneurs who are innovators, to our farmers, our teachers, social workers, and hearing about their stories, their struggles, and trying to work with them on what will be our solutions when I get out to Congress that can help Iowans. And then learning about the things that are going well in their lives and what's happening in our communities, even against the face of very difficult circumstances. You know, last year when I was down in Mount Air, by the way, saw my second cousin, so a little street cred in Mount Air. They were telling me about pooling money together to buy new street lamps for their town square because they didn't have the resources for it. So, you know, the first thing in my head is, okay, we got to fix it. So we got to make sure that our rural communities have the resources that our metro communities have when it comes to these types of things. But secondly, the spirit of these people to do what they need to do to make sure that their community thrives is it's just really inspiring. And I think that's been the greatest thing about this. And as an Iowan who grew up here, and going with my parents throughout this district as a kid, but then getting a little older and not traveling as much because I had my own children and right, you get into your activities and all that, having the opportunity to go back and travel this district into the places that I've always loved has just been a great experience.
Yeah, and people who don't or are listening to this on the coasts and you've never been to Iowa, you have never seen a more beautiful state. We don't necessarily have mountains and great rivers and lakes, but we certainly do have a natural beauty that is, it can't be compared in lots of different places. And right now, you're really fortunate because everything is green out there. The beans and the corn and the wind energy alongside of it, right? Cindy Axney, thank you so much for spending time with us. And we'll probably now get a chance to eat lunch. But thanks for spending some time with us. Appreciate it.
Oh, thanks. I'm really grateful to be here. It's a lot of fun.
Good. Well, that's a wrap for this week's edition of Out to Lunch. Our thanks to Cindy Axney for taking time out of a very busy campaign to join us. We'll, of course, have links to her website up on the radio blog. The Business News Hour Out to Lunch will be back next week, and we'll also be back at Vino 209 Wine Cafe. Our scheduled guest is John Hale. We'll, of course, be chatting it up about the food, but more importantly, we'll be talking about Iowa's response to its elderly population, caregiving in Iowa, legislative oversight, and how this state, in the words of John Hale, can do so much more to protect our most vulnerable citizens. Out to Lunch with John Hale next week here on the Business News Hour. The Business News Hour is a production of Inside Advertising, Marketing, and Communications and made possible through the support of Arion, human resource answers and support for small business to nonprofits to large corporations. Taro International, achieve lead and outclass with professional training from Taro International. Country Vet Pet Foods, natural pet foods made right here in Iowa and distributed throughout the Midwest. The Iowa Business Journals, business news and ideas for small business. AARP Iowa, rethink what you may think about AARP Iowa, a voice for all. The Business News Hour is also brought to you by LiveToLeadDesMoines.com with Action Coach Monty Wyatt. Live to Lead Des Moines is coming back on October 12th. Our producer is Chap Ramsey. Sales and marketing is Aaron Libby. The voice of the Business News Hour is Hunter Pease. And the music you're listening to right now is created exclusively for the Business News Hour by James Goodlett of Jam Good Productions. For the entire crew, my name is Michael Libby. Be safe, be well, be careful. Most of all, be good to your fellow man. Good day.